You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Morning. Y'all get to see me fiddling around up here. It's a lot to hold all at once. Well, welcome. We are glad to have you all here. We are moving on into sin number 2 out of 7. So we have our nifty little countdown of the 7 deadly sins. And well, Ben had his confession last week. And mine is that as I listened to his confession, I realized that I am of the generation raising the generation that doesn't know anything about Gilligan's Island. And so I will have to rectify this situation. I didn't realize what I had done. Clearly, it needs to be fixed. Well, we are stepping forward today into anger. Goody. It's going to be great. Just smile through it, and your body will think that you're actually happy. It's true. Well, can anybody tell me, do you all know who the character is that gave us anger? Brian gave us the cheat sheet a couple weeks ago. Skipper, he's a lovely fellow. We are going to jump right in with our scripture, so if you all will read with me together. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Good work. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. Has anyone else noticed how clever we've become since we got the internet? And there's going to be some of us that don't realize how clever they are because they've always had the internet. Well, something that really stood out for me is that if I wanted to make it from point A to point B in a city, I had to become a regular Indiana Jones plotting out terrain as an explorer to make my way to the Circle K. And now I just enter in that address into the Google machine and boom, I'm on my way. And this is fantastic for me because I am directionally challenged. It's true. And now I have all of this freedom. I can go anywhere and do anything. And the internet, well, it's actually reshaped us in our anger in, quite frankly, multiple ways, but I won't belabor that today. There is one way I want to point out, and it has become a beloved pastime. And you all, we adore it. And it comes all packaged up like this cute kitten here. We adore our passive-aggressive humor. And it is funny because it has a biting truth to it. So I can take all of my anger, and in one quick meme selection, I can give one person, or bonus, an entire group of people the proverbial middle finger. It's fantastic. I can just channel it all right there and be done. So I don't want you to think that having a good laugh at a sarcastic meme is suddenly the great sin in our lives. Because what I want to point out is that anger is an uncomfortable emotion, and we don't really know what to do with it. And so it becomes much easier to digest it and control it if we make it look more like humor. Only this steady serving of witty humor as that's actually hostility disguised, well, it begins to kind of creep and seep into our bones, and it changes us, and we don't even realize it because we're too busy laughing at how clever we are. And when we consistently deal with our anger this way, it makes it where we can keep that lid on the anger, and then we can turn up the heat one passive-aggressive notch at the time until eventually it's going to boil over. So all of this stuffing and boiling over is because what we really want is for that person or that situation or that group of people to change. If you're familiar with Gilligan's Island, you have to think about Skipper and Gilligan. Skipper, he just wants to fix everything. He wants to problem solve. He wants to help people, and he's always coming up with ideas. And Skipper, well, he gets in the way. And all Skipper wants is for Gilligan to get it together, get it right, or for heaven's sake, just move. Right? And so what we discover in all of this is that the Skipper's flavor of desire is he really just wants things to be easygoing, and Gilligan is constantly keeping him from that. And that makes Skipper angry over and over again. I mean, Skipper, he's laying in his hammock, he's just chilling out, and boom, Gilligan falls out of his hammock on top of Gilligan. So Skipper can't even relax because, of course, Gilligan is going to ruin it. And why they didn't just move their hammocks, I still can't say. They kept them stacked. I think Skipper was asking for it. And can't Skipper just have an idea and see it through? Well, no, because Gilligan will say or do something stupid. So we all have this flavor of desire with something that gets in our way. So I want you to think through this past week and all of the interactions you had with other people. Would you say that you got angry more than once per day? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have some honest people. 820, they either stared at me or shook their head no. They were not feeling it. I got a couple nods, yes, but not many. Well, some experts say 7 times a day is about right. And another segment actually says that 15 times per day is a more realistic average, which for me was kind of a shocking number, at least both of them. So I'm going to change the question up a bit. How many times this past week were you aggravated, annoyed or irritated, exasperated, grumpy or grouchy, frustrated or agitated? Well, all of these words are part of the family of anger, and suddenly when we look at all of these faces, those numbers, they start going up in 15 times per day. Well, maybe so. Sounds about right. When we look at these things and when we stop and pay attention to all of these agitations and annoyances, we can begin to discover what our flavor of desire is. Gilligan gets in the way of Skipper's, and our Gilligans can show us what ours is, because it points to our trigger or triggers. Some of us have more than others, and they're constantly being flipped by the Gilligans in our life. You see, when we are experiencing anger, it is because something that we care about has been threatened. It can be a goal or an expectation that was blocked or not met. It can be that just something didn't turn out how we want. Or it can go all the way to the level that us or someone or something that we care about has actually been harmed or hurt in some way. And so these are all instances where anger, it begins to well up within us because we believe that things should be different than they are. And something we care about is threatened. We get so angry at these Gilligans because they are in our way. They are blocking our goal. They are keeping us from making things how we think that they should be. And if only they would get it together or at least get out of the way, we believe that things are going to be okay. Only we can see with Skipper, this doesn't work out. Because Gilligan, he never does get it right. Each day he messes it up again, and he never does get out of the way. He's always at the wrong place at the wrong time. And so Skipper, well, he just has to explode all over again. It just cycles through, and it builds until eventually Skipper, well, he takes off his hat, and he hits Gilligan with it. So Skipper, he never feels better. Even as he lives through the huffing and the puffing and the stuffing and the exploding, he never feels better. So I do want to put a plug in here that if you are boiling over in a way that you are causing physical, emotional, or mental harm to yourself or others, that I'd like to encourage you to connect with one of us on staff so that we can assist you and connect you with the resources you need. Because anger, it's a sticky emotion. I'm making it funny up here, and so does Gilligan, but it can get deep-seated with all of our emotions and experiences, and sometimes we need deeper therapy and assistance to help us move through that. And Gilligan and Skipper, well, it's an exaggeration of frustration for comedic effect. Now, what's really messed up for Skipper is he's actually a really jovial fellow. He just wants to kick back and laugh, and he wants to help people and solve problems. And he loves Gilligan. He calls Gilligan his little buddy. They are best friends and mates. Only he's so constantly consumed by his anger that he never gets to just be that jovial guy or enjoy his little buddy. And that happens for us too. When we get caught into those cycles of anger where we keep living it out over and over again, well, we put a barrier between us and God, between us and others, and even us and the chance at inner peace. So if the other person can't solve it or won't solve it for us, and our stuffing and exploding doesn't work, what are we supposed to do? Because we still find ourselves holding that hot potato of anger, and we're ready to throw it at somebody and cream them with it. So what do we do? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 27, it begins to give us some insight. It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." So I'm just going to give the cliff notes up front so that you all can relax in your seat. You aren't bad because you get angry, and anger in and of itself is not bad. Anger is normal and expected. So it is not that anger is the sin. It is that there is a sin of anger. If Scripture says we can be angry, and we have these two verses side by side, be angry, and do not sin. We also know that Jesus gets angry. He tosses up the tables in the temple. There are moments of indignation. He even at one point in our verse today, it says, if you call your brother a fool, well, the word is actually raka. And Jesus uses that word. He says raka to the Pharisees. So we know that Jesus experiences anger. And yet as our Messiah, he does not sin. So here we have Psalm 4:4 and Ephesians 4:26 echoing each other. So if it says, be angry and do not sin, then what we are looking out for are the signs of sin in our anger. It's a bit like a scavenger hunt, and I'm going to take you through it. We are looking for all of these things that signal that we've moved on the right path or on the wrong path, because it may start out as righteous anger, like reasonable, you have been harmed, it is righteous anger, or it's just a petty small blip on the radar frustration. It's at that point a relatively neutral as an isolated frustration. So we may start there, but over time, depending what we do with that experience of anger, it begins to ferment. And as it ferments, it takes our attention. And as it gets our attention, we begin to disconnect from God. And when we disconnect from God, well, you know, anything can happen, and it's generally not good. Well, so now here we are. We've moved away from God. And even our scripture, it says, if you find yourself at the altar ready to offer your sacrifice, offer your gift, and you realize there's something between you and your brother, don't stay here and pray. Get up and go. Go and reconcile, then come back. So God wants us to take care of these things so that we can come back and be in presence with him. So as this anger, it begins to ferment, we hear the words of Proverbs 30:33, and it echoes in our hearts as a pressing on anger. Now, I want you all to imagine it. It's like kneading dough, and we work it. We work it over and over again, and suddenly, you see yourself ruminating. Oh, man, I can't believe they did that. This has happened to me. How could this happen to me? And there we knead it, and we build it, and it begins to rise within us. And as it does that, well, our hearts, they're now held in strife. It creates for us this heart of strife. And when our hearts, well, it's held in this strife, and our minds are ruminating and held in anger, it begins to break down our love for ourselves and for others. Because if you are stuck in a mind that's ruminating and a heart that is held in strife, well, it's not a very nice place to be. And well, wherever you go, you take yourself with you. And so you're just stuck in that place, holding all of that. And then as we hold all of these things, we can't help but become that person that stirs up trouble wherever we go. Now we have unkind words and these thoughts that take hold, and we begin to cause harm to our relationships. And like the nagging sound of dripping water, we aim to get that other person to change. It says that a nagging wife, you know, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. So no, wives, we aren't responsible for all of the anger that our husbands experience. And yet in this example, we can see how that incessant nagging to control somebody and change their behavior with our requests and demands, male or female. Well, our aim in this is to change the tension and make it go away. That's our goal. Make it stop. It's uncomfortable. And now we're holding all of this strife, and we become that person in Proverbs 15:18 who stirs up trouble wherever we go. Because A, if I can come to you all and tell you about this terrible thing that has happened, you're going to feel pity on me. I've gotten to voice it. It's going to feel a little better. You're going to feel sorry for me, so I'm going to feel a little better. And then, if I'm really lucky, I will turn you all against that person that has harmed me. And then that person is going to find out how wrong they actually were. And then they'll finally change their ways. Boom. I've done it as I stir up trouble wherever I go. And in all of these actions, it's because we are allowing anger to give rise within us. And as it rises within us, we rise it against our brother and bring it against them. So Jesus, in our scripture today, he connects murder with being angry, because anger that ferments in the heart is at the same root of the act of anger. It started somewhere, and it starts here. And when we take this path, we plant the seed and water it over and over again as it grows. Well, great. I've taken you nowhere. We're back at the beginning. We're stuck still holding that hot potato, wondering what in the world we're going to do with it. Only our scripture says, be angry and do not sin. So there's another way. In Matthew, what we read today, it tells us to be reconciled with our brother, and a few verses on, it tells us also our adversary. So not only are we to reconcile with those we care about, we're supposed to reconcile with those we probably don't even like. And reconciliation, it's not a superficial, well, Well, sorry about that. I'm sorry I'm mad at you. Shouldn't have done that. And then you go off and you're still kind of stewing, but you're like, well, I reconciled. Done. Check. It's not that. It doesn't mean that you force the other person to agree with you. It doesn't mean that. And for us people pleasers, it also doesn't mean forcing yourself to agree with the other person. Well, if I can make myself agree with them, I can say we're reconciled. Nope. Reconciliation does not mean agreement. Reconciliation doesn't even mean resolve. It is actually a mental shift that moves into the heart, and a shift in the heart that moves into the mental space. They move kind of in concert with one another. And it begins this change of heart where you can stand in anger and be in peace. As a Christian, you are responsible for your response. So you can't control how the other person responds. Now, if you can shift the space of anger that you're in, the other person may feel safe and invited to do the same. But that's not the goal. That's a potential byproduct. So if you go in there being like, all right, I'm going to shift myself, and then they're going to shift, and then I've won, well, then you're back on the other path. So you may be asking yourself, what is this shift even that she's talking about? Well, it goes a little something like this. It is to say out loud, or if we can't say it out loud, in our hearts, I don't agree with you, or I don't agree with what you've done, or I don't agree with how things are, and yet I wish you well. You may not wish me well, and yet I love you as someone who I know God loves, and I pray for you even as you stand against me as my enemy. If I have caused you harm, I desire to make it right as best as I am able. Now, when it's said out loud like that, it sounds so simple and even a little contrite. It's just like a little too sweet. But if you're angry, if you're really in anger, you're experiencing it. You've got the feeling in your gut and your blood pressure has risen and blood in the back of your eyes, and yet you can step into a place that says, holy smokes, I do not agree with you, and yet I wish you well. I do not want to tear you apart with my anger. I can be in peace. I can pray for you. When our body says one thing, but our heart and our mind can begin to tell us something else, is when you've moved into that shift. Now, we're going to go right back to where we were before with our anger. It may start out as righteous anger or even simple petty anger, a mere blip on the radar. Only we know that the path of fermentation leads to sin. We've already walked through that. It wasn't all that great. And now we know we can turn to a new way. So rather than ruminating on anger, this is the first place to start. Rather than ruminating on our anger and kneading it like dough until it creates that heart of strife, go seek reconciliation. That is the first thing to do. Now, Proverbs 15:18 says we can stir up trouble or we can calm a quarrel with our patience. So is it possible that in those petty frustrations over social media or an annoying driver, we can practice patience instead of pushing it off on that driver as the idiot involved? Or if we're listening to somebody air their frustrations at us, because that never feels good, what is the first thing we do when somebody starts to tell us how angry they are at us? Come up with arguments, justify myself, figure out where the holes in their arguments are so that I can throw them back at them. Feels great when you can find those. But it's a different stance if you can listen to them. Because what did I say earlier? When somebody is angry, when somebody is telling you about their anger, what they're actually pointing at is their desires, their needs and their wants, something that has been blocked and that is causing them harm. So it may start out as one thing, and then you realize, sorry, there's a gnat. I'm not like randomly swatting in the air. Ghost gnat. It's not that they're just throwing insults at you. They may not be saying it well, but ultimately they're telling you something about themselves, and you can be patient and listen. And that doesn't mean that the feeling of anger subsides. It means that we don't have to react on the emotion and become that person in our Proverbs who stirs up trouble in light of our anger. Now, Psalm 4:4 that we talked about earlier, it goes on and says, be angry and do not sin. But what's interesting here is the word angry in Hebrew is actually more akin to trembling in rage. So this isn't just easy anger. This is the deep, angry trembling. And then it goes on to say, be angry in this way, do not sin, and then lie in your bed, commune and ponder with your heart in silence. Can you imagine being that kind of angry, that trembling anger, and yet able to lay in bed in silence? I mean, Skipper would have just tossed away the hat and punched Gilligan Square in the face and just been done with it. So rather than nagging someone to change, we can learn skills of communication to voice our needs and desires. Many of us don't even know what our desires and needs are. I mean, something as simple as why didn't you take out the trash, may actually be us communicating that we're exhausted or we feel overused or we seem like we're misunderstood. And yet all we're focused on is, I took out the trash 5 times this week and you only took out the trash twice. And suddenly you're fighting over trash. And that's not even really what the issue is. But if you have counseling or somebody to talk with, even us on staff, we can sit with you and hear these things and help you discover what are those desires and needs. And skills of communication. We weren't all raised in a house with people that can demonstrate to us how to communicate. And so sometimes you need to not only discover what it is that you need and desire, but also have the words to say it. I mean, think about a toddler. Why does a toddler melt down typically? It's because they have a need or a desire, they don't have the words to voice it, and they don't have the capabilities to meet their needs. And so, boom, in the floor, you have a meltdown. And it's similar for us. We need those words. So be angry and do not sin as you seek reconciliation in your heart toward the other and when possible, find resolve in the conflict with the other person. And if there is no resolve, wish them well, love them, and pray for them. So what do you do if you're listening to this and realizing, I'm not just angry here and there, but I've actually been sinning in my anger? Well, Ben gave us the words last week. Oh God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. And then Jesus in our scripture today gives us the next steps. Go and reconcile. The anger is not what will be judged. It is that it puts us in danger of judgment if left unchecked, to breed and brew and ferment all of these things and the spirit, the heart of murder within us. So we move through it with patience as we work with the spirit to discover what it means to shift our hearts. Because hearing my words, it doesn't really click until the Holy Spirit reveals to you what this means and what it means to be angry and still love, to be hurting and not lash out. If it's no longer enough to not just strangle somebody out with our anger, it means that we need to follow after Christ, so that we can have that transformed heart to experience anger and still seek peace and love. And it's not a quick fix. So if you feel like you're being stretched, it's because you are. And the next time you find that perfect meme of a cute little kitten that wants to run everybody over, take a moment and just see if there's anything resting or growing in your heart. Maybe not. Maybe it's just a good laugh, but it may be pointing to something. And then if needed, go and seek reconciliation. It's not to figure out how to not be angry. I think many of you wanted to hear that today or are used to hearing that. It's to discover what does it mean to love. Our anger still experienced is transformed as we become more like Christ and perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, to love those who don't love us, and even those we never thought we'd be able to love. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we just offer all of the faces of our anger over to you today, that you can begin to work in our hearts and in our minds to reveal to us what it is we're trying to communicate and what it is that we need. And Lord, that we might be more like you each day, learning to have anger, experience it, and not hurt others in return. We lift this all of this up in your heavenly and holy name, Jesus. Amen.